another great show brought to you by the Law of Attraction Radio Network. The Think, Believe, and Manifest Show with author, master trainer, and certified dream coach, Constance Arnold. Join us every week as we bring you life-changing information that will empower your life. And here's Constance.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to the Law of Attraction Radio Network. And, of course, I am Constance Arnold, your most gracious host. And today I am broadcasting live from beautiful Atlanta, Georgia. And I'm so excited that you've joined me today. And as I say every Sunday, I believe that if you are listening to the show today, that the Spirit of God has attracted you here so that you can find the answers, the solutions, the strategies that you've been searching for, that you've been praying for, and that you've been believing for. Well, how are you doing? Have you had a great week? Well, it is an amazing day here in Atlanta. It's fall, it's windy, but it is simply spectacular, and I've really been enjoying this day. I've had a very busy day, but I'm so excited to be focused in and present with you. I would like to especially give a shout out to all of my international listeners. And boy, I am still amazed at how many people are listening in 121 countries all over the globe to the Law of Attraction Radio Network. And you know, when I look at the little map on the homepage, I see you listening from everywhere, and it's just so amazing. And for that, I am so grateful. And we now broadcast through StitcherRadio.com, and you can choose your individual shows through Stitcher.com. I got that out, and get free downloads by going to LOARadioNetwork.com homepage and putting in the code LOA. And guess what? This is just another wonderful way that the network is bringing you access to all of our shows. Well, are you ready? I am so excited about the show. I'm trying to calm down. Take a deep breath, Constance, and slow down, because today we're going to be talking about triumphing through tough times, or how to triumph through difficult times. And I know so many of you can relate to that. And so today the show is going to be in two parts. I'm going to share just a little bit at the beginning, and then I have a very special guest, Miss Betty E. Garrett, that's going to be sharing later on in the second part of the show. So are you ready? How to triumph through difficult times, through tough times. I remember about maybe 15 years ago, I read a book by M. Scott Peck, and in his book, The Road Less Traveled, the first sentence in his book is, "Life is difficult." And, you know, I pondered that, and I didn't really like that. I mean, why is he saying that? But as I've grown over the years, I've really pondered that statement and really have come to understand it in my own life. And so for some of you out there tonight, what if your life just has not turned out the way you imagined? Maybe you thought you would be retired and maybe living on the beautiful beaches of Florida. And what if you find yourself in a situation right now where you might be caring for your parents, especially if you're a baby boomer? You might be caring for another sick person, maybe your husband or your wife, and maybe that has really been impacting your thinking and your life, and all of your energy seemingly are going towards this very difficult situation. Or you just might feel a little down because your life is just not where you thought it would be. So today we are going to be talking about how to triumph during tough times. And you know, when we see someone who's very successful, has fame, money, a lot of glamour, we're like, man, I want to be like that person. But you know, I always want to go behind the scenes, and that's what I love about doing this show, going behind the scenes to find out what do people do in tough times. Because if you see anybody who's been successful, they've been through some tough times. I remember when Jack Canfield was on my show, and he holds the Guinness Book of World Records for selling more books at one time than anybody somebody else. I said, Jack, what did you do when you were turned down, I think, 140-something times? Those are the kinds of things that I want to bring to you so that you can, what, implement them in your life. And I think it was a couple of weeks ago I shared on one of my shows how Thomas Edison failed 9,000 times before he invented the light bulb. So my thinking is, what was his thinking when he failed maybe the 3,000 time? What was he feeling? What, did he get discouraged? What kept him moving forward? And so that's what we're going to be talking about. And you know, normally my show is all about the law of attraction, God, success, how to bring more wealth, how to live the great life. But as I said earlier, if you're in a position right now where life seems just a little overwhelming to you, then this show is just for you. Today, as I said earlier, it is going to be in two parts. I'm going to share right now, and then my very special guest, Betty, is going to be on. You know, so many of you, you love me, you hear me every week, you hear about my success, you see me, you hear about my speaking, you hear about my coaching, have been coaching for 25 years, speaking for 20 years, how people fly in to see me, how they drive in to see me, and you say, wow, Constance really has it going on. You see that at 50-something, I still look young and vibrant and can still exercise, that I have lots of love in my life, and so many of you say, wow, I wish I was like Constance. But if you only knew the many challenges that I've had in my life, you probably would break down and start crying. But I'm just going to share with you one challenge that I had and the principles that I use that you can use in your life, what, to get through really tough times. And the two most frequently asked questions that I receive from all of you are, Constance, how can I have more money, more wealth, more abundance in my life? And how can I either attract love or bring more love into the relationships that are already in my life? So are you ready? This is my story, and I'm going to tell you how I made it through that tough time. I'm going to talk about relationships. I've been divorced for a while, and 5 years ago, I really just said, God, I think I'm ready to get married again. I met what I thought was a wonderful man, and I chose to love because I don't believe you fall in love. I believe you choose to love, because if you fall in love, then you can fall out, but that's another story. And so we fell in love. We met. He was a doctor, very smart, on my level, I felt, and just a perfect match. And he wanted to marry me immediately, but I said, no, slow up, let's take our time. But eventually I began planning for my wedding. And this time I said, God, I'm going to make sure that this is the right relationship for me. So I submitted this relationship to two of my male elders. And that meant that they spent time with him, they counseled him, they sort of got in his business, found out who he was, what his background was, etc. We both spent counseling together. I made a decision, well, I'm not going to be intimate with him sexually until I get married, etc. And so I just knew this was the person for me. My friends knew it. Everybody said, wow, you two are the power couple. You're going to do great things to change the world, etc. So I planned a big wedding simply because I've helped so many people, and I really wanted to be a demonstration. I wanted people to see, look where God can do in your life if you're faithful, etc. And so had I really manifested my dream, had I really found the love of my life, I thought that I had. But one of the elders came to me and he said, Constance, something is just not right. And so the long and short of that story is he called me, the guy who I was engaged to called me, and he said, Constance, I want to end the relationship. I said, I couldn't believe it when he said it over the phone. He told me over the phone, And I said, what? I thought I was hearing things or asleep or in a dream or something. And he said, I have so much going on in my life right now. I want to end the relationship, etc. So for me, that meant I had gone to my dress designer and picked out my dress. We had picked out a venue. I had my house up for sale because we were going to be building a new house. I felt shame, embarrassed. I felt horrible. I didn't feel like I could go on. I was depressed. I remember I would train, do leadership training during the day, and I would cry all night long. God, how could this happen to me? I'm such a good person. I just could not believe it. And so I'm going to share with you what I feel really helped to bring me out, and I want you to apply this to your own life right now, especially if you're going through tough times. I remember just lying on my bed crying out to God, said, what's the deal? What's going on here? How could this happen? And I remember I heard a little voice on the inside of me, not the audible voice of God, but a little voice, or you may call it your intuition, that said, Constance, you can either be pitiful or powerful. Well, of course, who wants to hear that? Because I was the queen of pitiful, poor me, etc. And so those words sort of began to give me the strength to really put my life back together. So these are some things or some principles that I want to share with you that really brought me through tough times. Number one, remember this too shall pass. That was one thing that I used. This is not permanent, girl. This will pass. The second thing is that looking at what I have left and that I have a choice how I'm going to respond in this situation. I mean, what did I have left? Okay, I had training contracts left. I had friends that loved me. I had a proven track record with my friends. I had my speaking abilities. I had my family. And I began to focus in on that. And I remembered, Constance, even in the middle of this really tough time, you have a choice moment by moment how you're going to respond to this. The next thing is that I had a strong vision for my future, or I began to get one. I began to see myself on the stage presenting. I began to see myself happy and laughing and loving again, because remember, vision sustains you and pulls you from where you are to the future. And then the next thing is that I realized that I was not alone. And, you know, I realized I had a little pride back then. I isolated myself, and I was by myself, and poor me. But really, isolation is like the first sign of depression when you're going through difficult things. And so realizing that I was not alone, and my pastor had me to do this, even though I didn't want to, was to do something for somebody else. And I said, how in the world can I help somebody else when I can hardly get out of the bed? So what I began to do was to do some free training for women who are on welfare, helping them to deal with their psychological and emotional issues so that they can make better choices. The next principle is taking one day at a time. And for me, that meant taking small baby steps forward, even though I didn't feel like it. For example, it might mean, oh my goodness, I would rather lie in the bed, but I better get up and walk. Just moving forward. What steps can you take forward today, even though you may not feel like it? The next one is believing in the sovereignty of God and knowing that God had a plan for my life. Okay, God, this must not have been the plan for my life. You must have something higher and better for me and my life. So I had to believe that in order to move on. And the last thing is that the end is a new beginning. A new beginning. Okay, this had ended in my life, and God, what new and exciting thing do you have for me? Now, you may be in the middle of a tough place. Maybe you've lost your job, or maybe you've been downsized, or maybe you are a grandmother caring for your child's children, and you thought these would be your best years and your golden years. Or maybe your relationship is really terrible and you're going through a divorce. Or maybe your children are just driving you nuts. So guess what? The end is a new beginning. And so these are just some of the principles that I use to really pull me through some very difficult, tough times. And I was grieving, and I felt a sense of loss. And I'm not going to go into this, but the five stages of grief and loss are, number one, denial or isolation. You're like, this did not happen. You know, you feel like it's a dream. Number two, anger. Number three, bargaining. Number four, depression. And the last one is acceptance. God, I surrender. I accept it. I don't understand it all, but I believe that you have my best interest at heart. Can any of you relate to any of that? So even though that was about a relationship, you can take those same principles and apply them to any area of your life, because guess what? You were created to be triumphant. You were created to be victorious and to live an abundant life no matter what your current circumstances are. So, I tell you what, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and I'm going to be right back with a powerful story from Betty Garrett.
You're listening to Law of Attraction Radio Network, enhancing the well-being of millions of listeners worldwide. LOARadionetwork.com is heard through 25 different internet radio stations, as well as iTunes Radio, Stitcher.com, and our mobile apps. The Law of Attraction Radio Network, your trusted source of daily inspiration at LOARadionetwork.com.
Here's an update on our cruise of a lifetime to Mayan country. Royal Caribbean Cruise Line will not be raising the rates for the time being. And we have a special announcement that Lee Harris will actually be singing on the cruise. So not only do we have Law of Attraction coach Constance Arnold, astrologer Gene Wiley, channel psychic Lee Harris, we are also introducing holistic coach Enzo Giovanni to you as well. Plus, we may be tossing in a special hypnosis session on releasing the fears that block you from reaching the stars. So sign up today by going to lawofattractioncruise.com. That's lawofattractioncruise.com.
Are you ready to create the life of your dreams? Imagine partnering with a coach that can help you manifest extraordinary success. Constance Arnold has been a licensed therapist and coach for over 25 years and has successfully worked with more than 10,000 clients. Constance will help you clarify your goals, eliminate self-defeating beliefs, and create strategic plans to manifest your dreams. Constance offers a variety of coaching packages, pay-as-you-go, half-yearly, and yearly coaching. Contact Constance today for guaranteed coaching that produces extraordinary and permanent results. For more information, go to fulfillingyourpurpose.com.
Well, I am back, and I hope you enjoyed those great commercials. You know, I'm so glad that I have the opportunity to share with you just a little bit about who I am personally so that you can really understand. I am human just like you are, but I just chose to be victorious. I think I told someone the other day, when I put my feet on the floor every day, I say, I choose to win. Okay, my very next guest is Betty E. Garrett, and Betty is the author of From Hiccups to Hospice, A Survival Guide for the Cancer Caregiver, and she has a remarkable story, and the book is really great, and the manual is really awesome. It is a how-to manual for caregivers tending cancer patients. And you know, this really touched home with me because, as most of you know, my sister in Tennessee is going through chemotherapy, and thank all of you so much for your prayers. She's doing really, really great, and we're really excited about that. I'm going to let Betty tell her story, but Betty has a powerful company, Garrett Speakers International, which is a full-service speakers bureau that matches the right keynote speakers, trainers, etc., and she's won numerous industry awards locally and internationally, and she is a Southern girl like me, and I don't know what you guys are going to do with two Southern girls on the show tonight, but Betty Garrett, welcome to the Law of Attraction Radio Network.
Oh, Constance, thank you so much. I am so excited to be here. You do not know what an honor it is to be with you and with your prestigious listeners, and I hope and pray that what I say today will touch someone out there, because I wish I had had this information when I was literally going through the journey with my husband who had esophageal cancer.
And so, Betty, what great city are you calling from?
Dallas, Texas.
I can tell that southern accent, Betty. I tell you what. And so before we talk about your story, I just want to give some statistics on cancer, because it's just not about you and your husband, but 1.4 million people will be diagnosed with cancer this year, and 62% of caregivers would go into isolation or depression because it's just so much pressure when they hear the diagnosis. 44 of caregivers are men, and 54 million caregivers are caring for the elderly, disabled, or chronically ill. And so that is real life. So, Betty, share with our listeners your story.
Well, Gene began with hiccups. Gene was let me tell you first, Gene was my soulmate. I had kissed a lot of toads before I found my prince. So it was one of those days when he started having hiccups, and I went, what is this about? Long story short, one of the symptoms were hiccups, and that was it. And went to the doctor, had diagnosis, and I told the doctor, my first reaction to the doctor is just like you mentioned earlier, denial. I said, doctor, I don't believe you. You got the wrong patient or the wrong chart. We got to do this again. Well, sure enough, we did it again, did the biopsy, and he had esophageal cancer. So, but I also want to make sure that no one thinks that this is just the story of Betty and Gene Garrett, because this happens to thousands of people every day, and it's not if, but it will most likely happen to you. And, you know, we plan for businesses. We have contingency plans for our business. We have backup plans for carpools. We have backup plans for snow days. But we just don't have a backup plan for ourselves when we have a personal crisis. So hopefully today we can, you and I can lay out some things that our listeners can do and use the skills that they already have to fall back on, along with their faith in God, their family and friends. That's what's going to get them through their issues. And just like when we went through it, I did the numbers, and 65% of our time was driving from our home to the hospital to downtown Dallas.
Wow.
12% of that time was going to doctor's appointments, with 33% going to the emergency room. And 20% was actually going to chemo and radiation. So hopefully I did my homework, and it totals up to 65% of the time.
Well, Betty, you know, when you hear those words, and for our listeners out there, it may not be, maybe you've heard the words of you're losing your house. How did you react? I know that you were in denial. Were you like in a daze? How did your attitude change? How did you even function, you know, maybe a couple of days after you heard what the doctors had to say about Gene?
When we got the diagnosis, my first thing was denial. And then when we were driving back from the hospital to home, the silence in the car was deafening. And finally, I just said, okay, Garrett, you got to talk to me. Where are you mentally, and what's going on in your mind? Because I knew once I found out where he was, then I could make some adjustments, because it became a new normal. And when he said, Betty, we're going to play out the hand that we've been dealt, I knew then that we were going to get through this. And it never dawned on me that if we didn't follow the doctor's orders, that we wouldn't get through this. I mean, it just never dawned on us. But I learned that, okay, I had to sit back and say, what is it that I can control? You cannot control the diagnosis, and you certainly can't control the weather, especially if you live in Texas. But you can control your attitude. And you've got to look at it in that sense. I know it takes a while because you're going to go into denial and going to be isolated, going to be angry, you're going to be depressed. But just like you say, at some point, given enough time, time has a way of healing some things, we get to the new normal. Because now we've got some knowledge, and it's going to help us get through this journey. And I learned to use the skills that I'd had once before to solve problems. So why would I want to do anything differently? Yeah, I loved your story about being pitiful or powerful.
Right.
Yeah, we have our pitiful party. But you can either sit there and wring your hands, or you can become involved immediately in the journey, and that's what I chose to do. There you go again. See,
right,
what your choice is.
And, you know, you talked about the new normal, and so whenever there's a drastic change, there is a new normal. So what did that begin to look like for you on a daily basis? I know you run a very large company. Did you continue to work, or did you have to turn over some of those responsibilities to other people? And what was your new normal mindset also?
Oh, God, what am I going to do next? Mm. But I learned that I had to depend on others, and I knew that I was a survivor. I'm strong. I'm going to get through this. And, okay, one day at a time. Mm. What's next? And as long as I kept the communication open with the doctors and the medical team to tell me what's next, or what can I anticipate? And the thing I learned was continuing to ask questions to the medical team. I would never, ever leave the room until I knew exactly what the doctor had said. Now, did I get some of them a little angry or a little perturbed with me? I did, because sometimes I can be a little slow learner. But, come on, you're dealing with my soulmate. How can I be a good advocate and a caregiver for my loved one if I don't know what you're telling me? So bring it to my level of experience. So I would suggest, when you're talking to the medical team, write down your questions, tape record the session. Don't be intimidated by the white coat. And that's so easy to do, but they forget that we're not Florence Nightingale. They forget that we don't have a medical background. And the more we can ask questions and communicate, the better off you're going to be through this journey. And you mentioned intuition a while ago. You are exactly right. Listen to your intuition, because guess what? It's 99% correct. Remember, you know your loved one better than the doctor, because you're with them 24/7. So, you know, don't wait until the last minute to call if there's an issue. Go on and call the doctor. Would lots rather know up front what's going on and tell you that it's not an emergency than to wait long and then it become a full-blown emergency. In fact, O Magazine several months ago had an article about the inner doctor within us all.
Hmm.
Yeah, and the other thing I learned, the hardest thing for me was trying to get my arms around this, because so many things were coming at us so fast. How was I going to run my business? How was I going to take care of things? And it was not unusual for me to, and this was before the Blackberries, it was not unusual for me to go with my files, with my cell phone, and do business while Gene was in chemo. I mean, you saw me all the time by the window at the hospital dialing for dollars and trying to make contracts and make matches and that sort of thing. And if I got into trouble, I'd call my friends and say, I need you. Will you call so-and-so and just put them on hold on that particular day, and I will get back with them.
You know, Betty, I know what you see is so powerful. A vision is so powerful. And I'm thinking about when I would go up to Tennessee and sit with my sister as she was receiving chemotherapy. How did you deal with what you saw?
I tried to make it as pleasant as I could. Mm-hmm. In fact, 4th of July, we were down there doing chemo. I took 4th of July napkins. I tried to make the little session easier. I tried to make fun of it. And it didn't matter to Gene. Heck, he would sleep through it. But the thing about it is, it was more for me to keep it light. And that way, I just never, it was depressing. I thought I was the only helpful person around. But, you know, there's a reason for everything. And there is a journey that we all go through. And God allows us to go through this journey and learn so much. Now, at the time, did I think I was going to make it? There were times those little silent tears would flow at night down my face. And I would think, how can I do this? How can I continue to run the business? Because once I got Gene home from the hospital or the appointments or whatever, I'd go into the office, finish up the contracts, do whatever needed to be done, get to bed by midnight, and then I'm back up again at 6. And would start the routine all over mm-hmm. again. But I knew I didn't have a choice. I had to keep going.
And, you know, we're going to be talking about what caregivers can do to begin to take care of themselves. So what was the most difficult time or what was the most difficult experience during this process? And how in the world did you get through that?
The hardest thing for me to do was try to get organized, because the doctors were doing one thing, the medical team was doing another. We'd have to go test over here, and it was just hard for me to get this thing organized. It was hard for me to get my arms around it. And so I would come home, and I'd think, okay, how do I get organized? Because I've got to have my to-do list, or I'll forget something and let something fall through the cracks. And so I developed a calendar, I developed that medical sheet, I developed emergency phone numbers, and I had copies of that everywhere I went. And every time I'd go to the doctor or to a test, I took that medication sheet. And that probably, and I learned to write down everything, because you're not going to remember it. Not once you leave the hospital or leave the doctor's office, you're going to forget. And also, for goodness sakes, if you do not remember anything else today, please, please look for those important papers. Know what's in the insurance policy. Know where the DNR, the do not resuscitate. Know where all of that stuff is. And I want you to promise me to go to my website, caregiversforcancer.com, and print off the Life Contingency Worksheet. Once you go to that worksheet, it has everything lined out for you so that in case you ever need anything, you know exactly where it is. Well, and I learned to, I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Betty. And so, because I'm sure that it's very difficult because you are in a crisis, and so if things are not organized, it makes that crisis a little bit more difficult. But if they are organized, that it really helps to simplify and really facilitate that process that you're going through a lot easier.
Absolutely. In fact, I'll share a story with you. One of my friends was undergoing, her husband was in the last stages, and she called me, and we had several sessions, you may say, and I had told her to get this worksheet, and she did. And the day she left the funeral home, she called me, and she said, Betty Garrett, I have to tell you, you made my life so much easier because I had everything that I needed when I needed it. And she said, Betty, for that, I will be grateful from here on. And she said, I am an advocate for you and that Life Contingency Worksheet because you were my solution for the pain that I was going through.
Wow. And so, Betty, what happened when Gene made his transition and you released him? I mean, how long were you guys married?
We were together 18 years.
Okay, 18 years. So what do you do with yourself after being together for 18 years and then that person is no longer there, really managing the rest of your life? What are some things or some steps that you did to move forward? Because I can't even imagine that had to be so difficult for you.
Well, at the time, mother and daddy were still alive, mm-hmm. and there was this big void. I'll be perfectly honest with you. I mean, he was my soulmate. I mean, we were finishing sentences for the other person. I mean, it was just that I've never had a relationship like that. And people ask me today, Betty, do you think you'll ever marry again? And I said, look, when you've had the very best, nothing else going to shape up.
Mm-hmm.
Unless the good Lord brings me somebody, but he's going to have to smack me around. But no, I depended on friends. Friends would call. They would say, Betty, let's go to the movie. Let's go to church. Let me bring dinner over, or let me come pick you up and let's go out for dinner. And then there were times I would curl up in a fetal position on the sofa. There were times I did not want to talk to anybody. I didn't want to talk to anybody. I didn't want to listen to anybody. I just wanted to be alone. And one Sunday morning, the phone rang, and I answered it. It was a dear friend of mine who had undergone this same thing. Well, her husband had died of a heart attack. She called me, and she said, you're having a bad day, aren't you? And I busted out to crying. She said, I'm coming over. I said, no, I don't want you coming. She said, I am picking up lunch. I will be there in 20 minutes. And she gave me permission to have my pity party and told me that this was normal and that it was okay because people grieve differently.
So true.
And if you don't have that strong faith in God, even though there's times I thought he was in California rather than Texas. But you just, your family, your faith, and your friends are huge, and everybody wants to help. And it's a position of honor for you to let them help you.
So true. And you know, Betty, you know, you talked about friends and family, and so many people right now are going through tough times, and they simply do not have that support system. What would you say to somebody tonight who's saying, well, Betty, you have friends and family and business associates, but I feel isolated and alone? What would you say to somebody tonight who may in fact be alone?
Well, let me just go a step further and share with you that once Jean died, Daddy died 2 years later, and Mother died 3 years ago tomorrow. I have no more brothers and sisters.
Mm.
So I basically am alone. But I still have a dear friend that we've been friends for 60 years. I know I can call her anytime. And I try to stay busy. And there was a time when I stayed too busy. I would wear myself out trying to fill in the voids, and I finally said, okay, God, I've got to help. I have to have direction. And once I got back into my routine of going to work and calling who I wanted to and people coming over, it doesn't happen overnight. This is tough. And just be patient with yourself. You know, you look within yourself. You have the strength. You can do anything you put your mind to it. You have a choice. Now, you can sit there and feel sorry for yourself, or you can get up, pull yourself up from the bootstraps, and go on and get through. You could, like you say, you're going to have triumph through these difficult times. It may not be easy, but hey, life is not supposed to be easy. What is that? The quote that you used
life,
at the very beginning, life is difficult.
Life is difficult. And then, Betty, you had gone through all of these different crises, and here, later, you were diagnosed with breast cancer. My goodness, how did you handle that news? I mean, did you say, God, this is just too much, or I just can't take it anymore? How did you respond when you got that news?
I was devastated. I just went, no, you've got to be kidding, because it had been a couple of years since I'd had a mammogram, and Mom was still alive, and she was in an assisted living, and I was taking care of her, and I finally said, I got to go get a mammogram, just off of a whim. And I went through, I was so photogenic, God love them, they kept calling me back to do more and more, and finally I said, look, this is it, I've had enough of this mashing and all that sort of stuff. So when the doctor called and told me that I had breast cancer, I just said, what? And when he mentioned the word pathology report, my whole body shut down.
Mm-hmm.
And he went on to continue talking, and finally when he quit, he said, Betty, do you have any questions? I said, Dr. Clifford, I don't even know what you said.
Mm-hmm.
I said, my mind shut down. He said, come in the office tomorrow. So I went into the office, and as I left the office, I'll never forget, I was stepping off the curb, and there was this little voice that said, Betty, you're going to play out the hand that's been dealt.
Mm.
And I went to the car, and I said, you're absolutely correct. And so that, I was lucky I had the non-invasive, non-life-threatening type of cancer. I was a candidate to do that, the fast pace, the fast lane radiation. I did not have to do chemo. I did the new treatment where you go in and do radiation twice a day for 5 days.
Mm-hmm.
And the doctors learned a lot on me, and I learned a lot from them, because they put this little catheter in the first time, and then they had to take it out, and I said, don't ever do that to another woman.
Hmm.
And they looked at me, and they said, well, your skin is too thin. And I said, then you ought to be smart enough than that. So because I made them look at what they had made me go through, I said, you are messing with my psyche. You have convinced me, and I choose to do the five-day plan, but now you're telling me I might not be able to do that, but I've got the 6 weeks plan to look forward to? That's not an option. So when they put in the second catheter that really goes to, you go through the radiation and it goes directly to where the cancer was, you wear that device for 5 days, and it's over. I mean, you go twice a day for 15 minutes, and you're through with it. But because they had never thought about what they're doing to their patient by taking one of the catheters out because your skin's too thin, they increased their protocol by 30%, because I was the one that said, this is not fair. This is not fun. Now you got to do something better than this. So
right.
The medical team learned to, you know, listen to this old woman, but I also knew that I had to take care of me no matter what, whether it's, you know, when I was going through the journey with Jean, or whether it was myself. But, yes, it was a total different picture when I was involved.
And, you know, Betty, it sounds like that from these very difficult life situations or circumstances that you had to make a decision that you were going to learn the lessons, and that you were going to empower not only yourself and others. And you've written a great book and a great caregiver's companion. And so for all of the listeners out there tonight, you might be caring, as I said earlier, for your parents, or for a disabled child, or a mentally disabled person, and that's very difficult. So what insight or what resources could you begin to share with our listeners tonight about how they can begin to care for themselves, and what would be some principles that they could begin to implement into their lives?
Oh, my. Oh, please, please, please ask for help. It's not a sign of weakness. It's a sign of strength. Make your to-do list. When friends ask you what they can do, because tell them, I need stuff at the grocery store, or if they call you and say, I'm on my way to the grocery list, what on to the grocery, what's on your list, give it to them. And do not feel guilty when you pamper yourself or when you take time off. You deserve to take a break. And besides that, if you're caring for someone else, they may need a break from you too. So come on. And if you're not sleeping or if you're depressed, tell the doctor. It's okay to get a prescription. You're not going to get hooked on this stuff. This is why they have medications. If you cannot sleep or if you're depressed and you've got, and please don't do what I did. I'd come home and eat M&M peanuts and have a glass of wine. You've got to eat healthy. Do better than I did. And just remember, you know, if this is not all life-threatening, why worry about it? And develop your sense of humor. Look at the fun side. I mean, I'll never forget. There was one time when Gene and I were just about to go to sleep. He had lost a tremendous amount of weight. And I just thought, okay. And all of a sudden, I popped up, and I said, Gene, we're going to have to start sleeping in separate beds. And he raised up, and he said, Betty, why on earth? What am I doing? I said, you know those fat jeans you're losing? Yeah. I said, those suckers are finding my side of the bed, and they're attacking my butt. Now stop it.
That is so funny. That you were able to have a sense of humor during really difficult times.
Well, you have to, Constance, because laughter gets us through those dark times. They get you through those tough times. Now, when you're going through an emergency, you don't see nothing funny about it until you get into the waiting room or wherever and you start to debrief. Then you get to thinking about, you know, that's so funny. Even Gene, when the emergency room came to, or emergency vehicle came to pick him up, he kept screaming, I need a pair of underwear. I need a pair of underwear. And I said, Gene, me first. Well, you know, it wasn't funny at the time. But after they put him on the gurney and I saw him pull him, put him in the ambulance, I looked around and sure enough, that man had conned somebody else to get him a pair of underwear because he would not go to the hospital without them.
You know, that is so funny. And I just think that for our listeners tonight, Betty, that what we're saying is that even though you are in a difficult place, I think that you have to really accept the new normal, that you have to accept the hand that's been dealt to you and not be bitter or resentful about it, but know that God is right there with you, even though you may not feel God or feel the Spirit or even believe in God. And I just love the way you've chosen, Betty, and it is a choice to live your life after these very difficult circumstances that have happened to you, because you could be bitter if you wanted to.
Oh, I know, and I could say, woe is me, I don't have anybody left. Well, forget that. Let me tell you what I learned. And because of the journeys that I've been through, God allowed me to go through that, and I want to share my story and what I learned. And the book, From Hiccups to Hospice, yeah, it's a love story, but it's also, it has tips, tools, and techniques that I learned that you might could use as well. And that caregiver companion is based exactly on my calendar, and it's information I wish I had had when I was undergoing the various journeys. So go to my website, go and take whatever, glean information that you can use. And I did not want another caregiver to go through what I did without some manual. And at the time, there was not a book on the market written by a caregiver for another caregiver.
Well, you know, I love your caregiver's companion. It's like a little workbook. You have insurance information, patient medication log, what about me, calendars, thank you lists, things to ask for, and that really helps to organize your thinking and your life because you already have so much on your mind.
That's right. And once you gain control and get organized and I did not go to any, I would not leave the house without my calendar, and I would never leave the house had I had my companion in my hand, because it would go with me anywhere I went, because invariably they're going to ask you questions, and invariably they're going to want to have the medication sheet or whatever, and you're not going to remember why he's taking this medication. You think you will, but you won't. Better write it down. So it just, and for me, once I got organized or half organized, then I felt a little bit more in control. And then knowledge was the second thing, that the more I learned about Jean's diagnosis or Dad's diagnosis or Mom's, then I could handle it much better.
Right. And so, Betty, do you speak to cancer patients? Do you coach them, or do you refer them to support groups? What's your role now? What do you see your vision now for yourself as far as empowering other people who may be going through what you've gone through?
I love it to be in a small, intimate setting like a workshop, mm-hmm. where we can talk one-on-one and be intimate. I can do keynote speeches. I can go in and talk to caregivers or medical teams or anybody that has a chronic illness, because all of this stuff applies to a chronic illness. There are things that I learned that you can learn if you're taking care of someone who's elderly, and you know that the roles change. You become the adult and they become the child. So it's amazing the things that I've learned that I would love to share. You can go to my website. You can read my book. There's a number of things that, and if you need to talk to me, call me. I'll be glad to talk to you one-on-one.
So, Betty, give people that website, and I'm going to really strongly encourage all of you, if you're going through a difficult time right now, or if you are a baby boomer and you are taking care of your elderly parents, or if you are a caregiver right now, reach out to Betty, get her book, get her Caregiver's Companion, and contact her. So how can they contact you, Betty?
They can go to my website, which is caregivers4cancer.com. My email is Betty, B-E-T-T-Y, at caregiversforcancer.com. Or if you want to talk with me, my telephone number is 972-513-0668.
You know, I think that's so generous and kind of you, Betty, to be open to talk to people from all over the world who are really going through a difficult time. That speaks volumes about who you are as a woman.
Well, I just know what I went through, and I don't want another person to have to go through what I did without support. You know, medical science has done a great job in taking care of our loved ones, and they are extending their lives and sending them home so quickly now after surgery, and they're looking for us, the caregiver, to take care of them, and we don't have the tools. So get me the tools, and then I can help and do whatever. Give me solutions for my pain, and that's what I've tried to do. And it's from God. I didn't do all of this. Only because of this journey did Gene left me with this body of knowledge, and God said, Betty, your ministry has got to go out and help other people. If you can touch one life, then you have reached the ministry. You've reached a goal.
Well, you're touching more than one life tonight. You're touching people all over the world. And we have about 5 minutes left, Betty. And I've heard you mention God throughout the whole interview tonight. So share with our listeners, what did that look like for you, that relationship with God or Spirit? And how did that carry you through these difficult times?
He performs miracles every day. Gene was in the hospital. They were going to give him some medicine. It was a blood thinner. I didn't want it. But the doctors were trying to insist, and Gene said, Betty, it's your decision. And his feet were swollen. And just before the doctor signed the orders to give him this medication, the covers went back, There were three doctors around the bed. And when we looked at his feet again, there was no swelling. And we all had tears in our eyes, and we knew that we had just witnessed a miracle.
Wow.
God is with you. I know he's with you. You may feel like this is the Lone Ranger, but I'm telling you, your faith and your belief in God, higher being, that if you don't have it, yeah, it's going to be real tough. But I also know that I can truthfully say that there wasn't anything left unsaid between me and Gene. And I owe that all to God, because when Gene sighed his last breath, I felt the will of God, the love of God, start from the very beginning of my head and went through my entire body. It was a feeling of warmth. And I knew Gene had gone to me.
Wow. That's an amazing story, and Betty Garrett, you are an amazing, awesome, powerful, spiritual woman, and I am so grateful that our paths cross, and I believe in divine connections and divine relationships, and this certainly is the case tonight. And I just want to thank you for your honesty, your vulnerability, and once again, I'm going to encourage all of you, especially all of you who are caregivers, to reach out to Betty. She would love to speak with you. Get her book, read it, purchase her Caregiver's Companion. It will really help you. I love you, Betty, and thank you for coming tonight.
Thank you, Constance, for taking the risk with this woman who's got spiked hair. And, you know, I promise you it wasn't going to be doom and gloom. So thank you, listeners, for hanging in there with us. And please, if there's anything I can help you do, please let me know. And you've got a wonderful woman who is empowering you through Constance, and she is as beautiful inside as she is on the outside.
Thank you, Betty. I appreciate that. Well, once again, this is Constance Arnold, and you can visit my website at fulfillingyourpurpose.com. And I think we still have some cabins available for the cruise. I would love to meet you personally in December, and we will be lying on the beautiful sandy beaches of Cozumel, Mexico. I've been there many times, and it is so awesome. I'm going to be speaking, I think, twice on the cruise, but would love to meet you personally. Just so excited about the show tonight, and I'm just going to finish with what Betty said. God loves you, and I want you to expect a miracle in your life today.
Thanks for joining us today on Think, Believe, and Manifest. We'll be back next week with another great show. For more information, go to fulfillingyourpurpose.com.